follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Busy hour on tap. Mike Palm here from Circa coming up in 30 minutes. We begin with the great Sal Palantonio, ESPN, been with the network for more than 30 years, host of the Matchup Show for a long time as well. He's up in San Francisco for Super Bowl 60, and he joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Sal Pal, as always, a treat to talk to you. What is your favorite attraction, by the way, in the San Francisco Bay Area? Alcatraz? Would it be the Golden Gate Bridge? The food overall? What do you think?
I think it's the food overall. You know, you can get a great Italian meal no matter where you go in the San Francisco Bay Area. I was actually stationed here in the Navy in the early 80s, so I got my spots.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm in the South Bay in Santa Clara, so we went scouting for an Italian restaurant last night, actually in a plaza where Fleming's is, the steakhouse. We couldn't get into Fleming's because Mike Vrabel had a private room for all the coaches last night. And Mike Vrabel picked up the steak dinner tab for all of his entire coaching staff last night at a private dinner. In fact, he said I heard the message from some of the coaches. He told his coaches, quote, "Let's finish this job the right way." And then he picked up the tab and walked out.
Great story.
Good inside info.
Well done. Absolutely. How concerned are you about the weather? Could it play any role Sunday?
I'm hearing that the weather is supposed to be about what it is now. There is going to be a little bit more cloud cover, so it won't be as warm. There is a cold front coming in Sunday. The question is, when is it coming in Sunday, and will there be any showers late in the game? That's what I have heard. But I heard that the showers are going to hold off until after the game is over. That could change. The weather here changes very quickly because, we're right on the ocean. So we'll watch that as the week progresses. I think it won't be a major factor.
Okay, so you've now had a good 10 solid days pretty much to think about it, to examine it. Again, as I mentioned, you've hosted the Matchup Show for many, many years on ESPN. You talked to a lot of other brilliant minds as well. All right, what is the conclusion here? Who's going to win? How do you see the game going?
Okay, let's start with how I see the game going. You got to look at the history of the Seahawks and the Patriots, the recent history of the Seahawks and the Patriots. 9 out of the last 10 games between the Seahawks and the Patriots have been one-score games. 3 of the previous 4 Patriots-Seahawks games ended on the one-yard line. So these games come down to the wire between these two teams. That's a number that you haven't heard anywhere
else.
No,
that's the first.
Yes, it is. I got that number, and I've been holding it in my back pocket for Follow the Money.
Thank you.
Let me repeat that again. 3 of the previous 4 Patriots-Seahawks games ended on the one-yard line. In fact, when I dug that up and I sent it to my guy in Bristol, who checks all of my research facts before I go on anywhere, ESPN, Follow the Money, doesn't matter. He sent a memo back to me and he says, "Where did you get this? This checks out. We love it." And I said, "Well, you can't use it until Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern. Don't even put it out. Don't put it on Twitter. Don't put it in your notes. Nothing." 3 of the last 4 Patriots-Seahawks games ended on the one-yard line. And I think, and talking to Josh McDaniels today at the team hotel, I went through a lot of stuff with him, one-on-one. Some of it is already run on NFL Live, but it's going to run throughout the week. And he said, you know, I think it's going to come down to that again, a one-score game in the fourth quarter, because these two teams are built right. And in the end, somebody's got to make a play. And I agree with him. I have the Patriots winning the game.
Wow.
I have the and I'm going against the grain of a lot of my brethren and colleagues at ESPN, a lot of whom are picking the Seahawks to win, some of them picking the Seahawks to win big. I don't see it. I think a lot of it has to do with the Milton Williams effect. The Milton Williams effect, the hangover from last year when he was in Philly. I think the Patriots looked at what the Philadelphia Eagles did with the rush up the middle. 2 guys, Christian Barmore, Milton Williams. The only real good weak spot for the Seahawks is their interior offensive line. And I think if you get into Sam Darnold's face enough times, you can disrupt him like the Eagles did with Patrick Mahomes, and that is going to be the difference in the game. I actually have the Patriots winning 24-21.
Okay, interesting. Right about, yeah, right there with the total, too. Okay. Does Darnold turn it over?
Darnold turns it over. Absolutely. Yeah. He turns it over. You know, you look at these two corners, and you look at all three of them for the New England Patriots. Carlton Davis III on the left side, Gonzalez the All-Pro on the right side, and don't forget about Marcus Jones.
Yeah.
Number 25, I think, is going to figure deep into this game. I do. He's got so much speed and awareness, and he's so good in the slot. And there'll be times when Marcus Jones will be targeted, and I think he will respond.
So if you have them winning 24-21 overall, how are they going to get the points on the board? Is it going to be just Drake May doing everything, throwing and running the football? Are they going to be able to run the ball on Seattle? Or who would it be potentially in the passing game then for the Patriots?
Yeah, so the thing is, they have really three runners. They've got Lightning and Travion Henderson, and Ramondre Stevenson is the Thunder, or vice versa. They run them inside, the tackles are on the outside. I think what you'll see in this game is they will run on the edges against the Seahawks, and they will attack their corners in the run game. And Drake May, you must absolutely make sure that you account for him as a runner. He had 63 scrambles in the regular season, most of any quarterback. He had 9 scrambles for 125, 13 a carry in the postseason. Obviously, the unknown factors are what? One, is Drake May's shoulder okay on the right side? Is his throwing shoulder okay? So he'll be on the practice field in about an hour here in Northern California at Stanford and Palo Alto. They have a good solid 90-minute practice, and they are practicing late today. So we won't get the injury report and the pool report until much later in the day, somewhere around like maybe 8 p.m. Eastern, before you'll know today fully any kind of independent eyewitness report on Drake May throwing the football. And will he feel comfortable enough running with the football and worried about getting hit? One of the things that you got to look at is that Drake May invariably runs to his left. He scrambles to his left and he dives forward with his right shoulder instead of sliding. And it got him in trouble in Denver. And if you watch that in the first quarter, and he gets hit, and he dives forward, running to his left. Almost all of his scrambles in the postseason, guys, have been to his left, where he dives onto his right shoulder and gets hit. If that happens early in the game, watch him get up, and whether he grimaces, that could definitely be how you can handicap the rest of the game.
Did you have any intel? He said he's going to play, but do you know what percentage Spillane is?
Yeah, Spillane is going to play. Again, we'll see today. If he's listed as limited instead of a full participant, and I anticipate he will be limited today. Uh-huh. I don't think he'll be. It's hard to go from not practicing to a full participant in practice. Very rarely does that happen. You know, you have to explain to people this is a miracle recovery, right? He didn't practice all last week. So I think he'll be limited. I think they'll take it slow, and we won't really know. But the thing about it is, guys, when Spillane went out in that game against Denver, it was the first quarter of the game. So Jack Gibbons, 51, they put the green dot on his helmet, and Zach Kerr, who is the linebackers coach who's calling the defensive plays because Terrell Williams is out with prostate cancer recovery. I thought they did a terrific job with Gibbons, even without Spillane. I think the injury to Spillane is not an issue, not a major issue, because Gibbons held his own. Would they rather have him? Of course. You want the extra bodies. You got to have all hands on deck.
Okay. In like 90 seconds here, then, you think that they pretty much hold Kenneth Walker and Jackson Smith and Jigma in check in this game?
In check? No. I think, you know, they'll get their touches. They'll get some yards. But the Patriots are really good at squeezing things in the red zone. And so I think they'll get some shots in the red zone, and, you know, they'll come up short. I really do. But in the, you know, in space, number 11 is a nightmare, and they move him all over the formation. I think one of the things that really attracts Tom Brady in Las Vegas, to Clint Kubiak, is the way they have employed Jackson Smith and Jigba. They'll be in two tight end sets a lot in this game. They'll run out of it. They'll pass out of it. And they'll try to grind out some points against the Patriots defense. But this Patriots defense, you watch them on film, they are a violent team. They are a violent, violent team.
Sal Pell, you're the best. We thank you, as always, for making a little bit of time for us up in San Francisco, that area anyway, during Super Bowl week to join the program. Thanks for the prediction. Enjoy the game on Sunday. We appreciate it.
Always follow the money, baby. Come on.
There you go. Wednesdays with Vito Sun, officially on the record, picking the Patriots outright.
I don't like that final score. It'd be an entertaining game. Only one field goal, though.
Yeah. I would like to make the case to bet on this team at 50-1 or higher to win next year's Super Bowl, but there's one big problem.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Thanks to Sal Palantonio, been with ESPN for more than 30 years. Again, longtime host of the NFL Matchup Show as well. He breaks down this stuff every single week. He's had 10 days to think about it. He sounded pretty confident in the Patriots pick outright. 24-21.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. I love him, but he's also getting nothing but Patriots as he's with the team all week. So I'm sure he's hearing good stuff and feeling good about him after being around them all the time as well. So.
Yeah, we did not have, obviously we ran out of time with him. If we had more time, I would have asked him, like, what's the conversation with your coworkers like, right? The people who he does the matchup show with, the Greg Cosell types, when a majority of people, pretty much everywhere, they're picking the Seattle Seahawks to win this game, and a lot of people are picking it to be a blowout, and here's Sal Pal seeing it in a totally different way. Like, do they look at him like he's an alien? Do they say that he's nuts?
What do you think of his final score?
Well, I hope it's actually lower scoring than that, with more field goals, like you said.
Right.
That would be too many touchdowns on some of the props I want to bet.
That's right. That's right. So to reiterate your point, 47 of the 57 at ESPN pick Seattle, 30 of the 34 at NFL Network, and all 8 at The Athletic picked the Seahawks to win.
7 out of 29 here at VSiN in the Pro Football Guide, the Super Bowl betting guide, on the Patriots to win outright. I'm one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm one of them. So there is, you know, at least one concern, multiple for each of these teams, but one definitely sticks out. I mean, it's, if you're active at all on social media, if you watch the highlight shows at all, it's been popping up like a sore thumb. And that is the play at left tackle from their rookie offensive lineman, Will Campbell, who has been getting dominated in the playoffs. And it goes back a little bit more than that. That is a potential hazard, big time, against the Seattle front, where, man, they get after it as well as anybody. And if it's been a big time issue for him against other, you know, really good talented defensive linemen in the playoffs, you would think that's going to be an issue here in this game.
Yeah, could you imagine there's a big injury? You could see that right off the bat. They blow past him, sack. Uh-oh, may hurt.
Oh boy.
I mean, or yeah, it could happen. I mean, this, you're right.
Yep.
Now I know he's gone against them, you know, Houston and Denver here, but going against Seattle as well, he's going to have a tough go of it.
So here is Mike Vrabel's message to his rookie offensive lineman.
That's what this league is about. It's about, it's not about the success. It's about, can you have adversity and come back the next week, come back the next play? And I said, listen, you're the guy that we wanted to play this position. And we can't wait to watch you continue to play and improve, get better. I mean, we have a lot of guys that are 21, 22, 23 years old. Our quarterback's younger than Carter. Mm-hmm. If you can imagine that. And that's exciting to think that. And again, you know, this is how this league goes. Whether you get beat as a tackle, you get beat as a corner, whatever that may be, you know, you just come back the next day and next week and keep fighting. So I'm proud of them for doing that.
Yeah, it might be easier to go year to year on uh-huh. somebody like that rather than week to week or play to play as a rookie.
That's why I see a low scoring game. I just think both defenses can have a day here, and it's all about the pass rush, and it allows the quarterback to dump it off. They have to get rid of it fast, and while the running backs go over their props, mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to see a high-scoring game, unless maybe there's turnovers, which I hope that doesn't happen. Some are also predicting rain. Now, Sal Pal said it would be late based on his report, but some are predicting rain out there too. So I hope we don't get a wet track or muddy conditions out there late in the game.
We have to have our five best bets in specifically for the Sunday live show during the Super Bowl by tomorrow. Do you have yours in already?
Yes, I sent them in.
You already have five best?
Yeah.
I do not. Right. I'm not even close.
That's hard to narrow them down.
I have more than five bets, but I just don't know what the best ones are at this point.
Yeah, definitely shortest scoring drive over 59 and a half seconds. Longest touchdown drive under 79 and a half yards. Both teams 33-yard field goal. I forget what the other ones were. But okay. those were, yes.
Well, definitely mine will be Travion Henderson over a half a yard receiving.
Yeah, got to have a catch, yep. I think that I had that on there. Yeah, I did have that on there, yep.
And that's where I'm at right now with my best bets. I only have one. Like, I don't, it's amazing. The game's coming up on Sunday. I don't have a ton. But I keep searching, and I'll have five by Sunday. I'll have five. I have more than five, but we got to come up with our best bets, obviously. And you can get lost, by the way, in all the apps, Paulie. I don't know if you know this or not, but what is there, like combined 8,000 props that you can bet on? So narrowing it down to five best is maybe a little bit difficult to do. But I'm also looking at odds for next year's Super Bowl. I have looked at plenty of opponents that these teams are going to be facing. I like to get ahead of this before the schedule comes out. That's an additional gamble because the schedule could screw a team with rest advantage, rest disadvantage, whatever. There is a lot to like with the Atlanta Falcons next year. I think they have a really good young core on defense. A lot of those young players shined big time late in the season. The skilled guys speak for themselves. I really like Kevin Stefanski as a new head coach. This would not have been a consideration had they kept Raheem Morris. No chance, no how. But I like Stefanski big time. That's a major upgrade there. I think the offense is going to be fine. There's one major rub to this. And they're as high as 80-1, which is a very attractive number to me. Here's Matthew Ryan. Now, obviously, former longtime starting quarterback there in the front office, asked about committing to Michael Penix this week.
Neither of us are the head coach of the football team, so we can't answer your question on that. But you know, I think all of us are going to get together as Ian's been a part of it for, I guess, 3 days.
Yeah.
3 days and has had a lot on his plate during that time. I think, you know, as we start to get into this process and dive deeper into the roster, how it currently stands, where it's, you know, going in the future, I think those are conversations that'll be a part of it. Quarterback's obviously very important. And we're, you know, excited about Mike and what he's doing with his rehab. I've been up at the facility the last, you know, 3 weeks, and Michael's been in there attacking that, and he's in a good space right now. So we're excited about where he's at, but certainly a lot of discussions for us about the entire roster.
Yeah, my God, that's not very reassuring. That's like, I'll throw another guy at you who recently had a press conference after getting hired. It was Mike McCarthy. Would you like Aaron Rodgers back? Yeah, I would. He just knew right away, no hesitation. Matt Ryan, I'm not the head coach. What?
Yeah.
So to be that noncommittal about a guy who is in the same draft class as J.J. McCarthy and Drake May, Caleb Williams. I know the guy was injured, so what's the story then? Are they going to move on from his? Is Kirk Cousins going to be the guy next year?
I don't know. Malik Willis, I don't know what direction they're going to go. you could come back and say, just take care of the ball. You have enough weapons. You should be okay.
I know it.
But they, you know, but that's, you can't be excited if Cousins is going to come back and be your starter. And not a ringing endorsement there either.
No, that's so.
I think it's more so you have the injuries, but also he didn't, like the game was too fast and he wasn't picking up what he was seeing or knowing what he was looking at. You know, too many interceptions and just not taking advantage of the weapons that he has is making the play, making the big plays in the passing game either.
Yeah, put it this way. It looked like it came far too easy for Michael Penix when he played at Washington. I mean, that final year when they made the national title game, it was just, and he was loaded at wide receiver, obviously, and at running back that year. He's loaded with weapons at Atlanta right now. It did not look the same. I mean, it looked like the guy was lost playing out there, unfortunately, for the Falcons. So I can't, there's a lot to like again, but if you're going to have a total unknown at quarterback at this point, 80-1 in the Falcons, that can't be. I also looked at a couple of other teams. I looked at the Chargers.
I can see that.
Their schedule is pretty tough with the opponents next year.
Well, big upgrade at OC, though.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's a lot to like there.
You'll be healthy on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tough division.
Yeah.
I took a peek at, again, multiple teams. Another one that I looked at was Jacksonville. Because I think that they were awesome this year and blew that game against Buffalo in the playoffs. And just their schedule, though, again, it's a first-place schedule, and they have a lot of difficult opponents on it next year. So,
what do you want to do with Washington? NFC title game and then to 5-12.
Probably somewhere in the middle this coming year.
And then do they bounce back? Yeah.
How about? Well, I don't like the idea that they fire Cliff Kingsbury, and how about that guy still being available?
Yeah.
And these offensive coordinator hirings that took place, and he's not one of them. Like, people are livid about Matt Nagy going to the Giants.
Yeah.
I had multiple people reach out to me and say, I cannot, here you go again, typical New York Giants.
Yeah.
Just when they're going in the right direction, they make a move like this. So.
Biggest game of the year deserves more than a guess. Our betting guide is out now, built to help you bet the big game smarter. Mackinnon simulation, detailed player projections, favorite prop bets, picks, and best bets from every host and expert. Get the guide now, $19.99, spectacular, or become a VSiN Pro subscriber and get the Super Bowl betting guide included, along with the best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video. Everything you need, one game, one edge. Finish the season strong. Head to VSiN.com/guide, VSiN.com/guide. Get it now.
By the way, if you missed the shows earlier in the week, on Monday we had Warren Sharp on. Tremendous breakdown on the Super Bowl. Yesterday, we had professional bettor Frank B. In studio for a full hour. If you missed any of those, I would highly suggest you go back and check them out wherever you get the Follow the Money podcast. Up next, Mike Palm on the program, VP here at Circa. We'll get Super Bowl nuggets from their perspective and what he likes in the game coming up next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the Money on VSiN.
We go from Wednesdays with Vito's son to Wednesdays with the maestro, Mike Palm, VP of Circa Las Vegas, the Golden Gate, and the D joins us here every Wednesday at 5:30 Eastern Time, 2:30 Pacific. Good to see you, Michael. How are you today?
Hello, Mitch. Hello, Paul. How are you? Nice weather here in Las Vegas. I just got back from Chicago. We're, it was 18 and snowy.
Bundled up. Did it make you miss it?
I like the Four Seasons, though.
Yeah, you don't like the 0 degrees. No. Come
on. I like scraping the car. I like.
No, yes. You don't.
Derek threw the switch as 670 the score became 104.3 the score as they got to FM. And I'll be recording my first show on Saturday from Bar Canada. There'll be a live show on the score, 8-9 in Chicago, 6-7 here in Las Vegas, called Home Saturday.
Okay.
My first guest will be Pat Foley, who has not done an interview since he retired 3 years ago, Hall of Fame broadcaster for the Blackhawks. The show that follows it, David Haw and Bruce Levine do this show Inside the Clubhouse. It's a baseball show from 9 to 11. I'm going to turn them into Jasmine Guy and Kadeem Hardison. I'm telling you right now, the ratings that they're going to get because of the lead-in, it's the Cosby
world?
Show in a different world all
world
over. Wow. There you go.
That's a tough one, though.
That show was in the top five 4 years when Cosby was number one leading into it.
Yeah. Did you go to Portillo's?
No, we went to a different place and we were disappointed.
Oh, that's come on.
Derek was a little disappointed.
No,
we didn't
want
to go off route. We could have went off route and got to Portillo's on the way to the airport.
I've heard all the local mom and pop's places are just as good.
This wasn't true. The bread wasn't great.
How do you blow bread?
It's hard.
That's terrible. It sets the tone. You got to have solid bread. It's big.
Do betters here at Circa anyway, and in all the six states where you're located, are they finding this to be a sexy Super Bowl matchup based on the betting handle?
We're waiting to find out if it's going to be really.
The game's Sunday. What do you mean we're waiting?
Well, the game's Sunday. I mean, it'd be like we were talking Wednesday on a game. I mean, they're settling in. They're waiting for the injury reports.
It's that low at this point?
It's okay. It's trending a little below, but we'll see. We'll see.
Well, you think it's going to be low scoring. Your prediction's incredible. Tell people in the guide what you think and who you bet MVP.
You got to get the pro. Get the pro. I mean, you pay double for this Super Bowl guide than what you do for your first month of the pro subscription. It's incredible. I loved everybody's write-ups. They were very fascinating. And congrats to Adam Burke for cajoling everyone to put a few sentences together, which not everybody does easily. So I believe that Vrabel, with 2 weeks to prepare, will take a look at the tape from November 30th when the Vikings went to Seattle. Now, that was the game they started the undrafted rookie Sam Brosmer from Max Brosmer from the University of Minnesota, right? Who has no business being an NFL quarterback. And so Minnesota did nothing and could not possess the ball. So basically you just said, here, Darnold, here's the ball for 60 minutes, right? He had 120 yards, 3.3 yards per play. They sacked him four times, and Seattle, with all that possession, had one offensive touchdown. And the score was 26-0. They kicked four field goals, and they had a defensive touchdown. I think Vrabel, with 2 weeks to prepare, will try to steal from Flores. Now, on the other side of the ball, you know the Seattle front four will create pressure. The secondary is elite, and I don't think McDonald will make the same mistake as Vance Joseph and not spy Drake May. And so I think this will be a low-scoring defensive game. Seahawks 19, Patriots 17, MVP, Seattle kicker Jason Myers at 50 to 1. Mitch, you saw 250 to 1 somewhere in town. So maybe I can get $10 down there.
Maybe they'll get you late, get $10 on that. But so I like that angle.
Benjamin Solak has 16-13. Not bad.
I think there's a path happen.
That's a path.
Right? I don't see a shootout. Let's just put it that way.
Okay, so I had this conversation with somebody yesterday. Okay. If this game is played 100 times, how many times is it, 28-28 late fourth quarter or 34-30, like with 3 minutes to go in the game?
Less than 15 times.
I said 10. This person said, I don't think it happens 10 times.
Less than 15 encompasses 10.
Okay.
I just don't. Here's the other thing. My prediction would suggest Patriots to take the points. Mm-hmm. But think about this. The look-ahead number to Seattle-Denver was 10. And in a coin flip game in Denver in the snow, and you know Peyton didn't kick a field goal, and then the stupid lateral and all that, is it really that big of a difference between New England and Denver that it's 5.5 points different than the look ahead versus the Broncos? I would suggest the line should be a little higher. That doesn't mean I'm going to bet it. I would just suggest the line should be like 5.5 or 6.
Well, and plus, isn't that all you're hearing? Is that Seattle, 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 and a lot of people making the case like don't even lay the 4.5, lay 9.5, 13.5, whatever.
Well, some places have gone to 5. We're still 4.5, 110, which is but we'll have more pros that maybe the pros take points. I don't know here. It's hard to really get an opinion. We took that one big bet, but that was a hedge. So we'd like to take a lot more big bets. I know one guy came in, he wanted to take the alt Seattle plus 14.5 minus 1800 to win a huge amount. Well, that's the only bet we would write on it. So, I mean, you're not going to write anything back. So whatever he's going to write on is going to win. So you can't go crazy.
Yeah. Mitch doesn't want to hear it, but what do you think of Darnold? Could Darnold get him beat? Led the league in turnovers, even though he's been great.
Who's been better in the playoffs, Darnold or May?
Darnold.
Like, unquestionably, yeah, Darnold,
no doubt.
Right?
Yeah.
Does Darnold get a bad rap? Now, you can say Darnold a bad rap his first 4 years or whatever. But since week one of last year, he had two really bad games, and they just happened to be week 18, and they have it. So the narrative was he can't win in the big game. Now he was okay against San Francisco. He was very good against Matt Stafford. And really, they went blow for blow there, right? We're not talking about the Rams winning that game if they don't get that stupid unsportsmanlike penalty that gave the Rams another. Remember? Everybody will talk about that, but they got that ridiculous unsportsmanlike conduct penalty when the Rams would have been punting.
Yeah, the muff was big, though, too.
Well.
But I see your point.
McVay ignored special teams.
And how
it's their own fault.
Honestly, how McVay botched the end of the second quarter.
Yeah. How does Seattle ever get the ball back there?
Impossible. You cannot allow that to happen. Mm-hmm.
Are you in on the meetings? Do you have input as a bettor with some of the props and stuff you would like to see? Because I thought they did a great job of creativity.
I loved it. Look, I highlighted all the ones I love. I love this. Well, the longest, what's higher, the longest field goal or the total points in the game? That's definitely correlated both ways. And so I like the field goal. I did a lower scoring script. You're going to kick more field goals and have less points to go over, right? And it's the opposite way if you think it's going to be a high scoring game.
Sure.
So I like all of this stuff. Total punts, total sacks, total interceptions. I like over 1.5. Total fourth down conversions, over 1.5. Longest gross punt distance, longest touchdown drive, total players with a rush attempt, 7.5.
You like that over? You think it'll be an 82
no,
yard?
No, I don't. I like the under. Oh, okay, I'm just saying I like that prop.
Oh, gotcha,
those are very interesting props.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Total players with a reception, 13.5. Yeah. I think they're all very interesting props and fun props.
How about scoreless quarter and then absolutely no score first 5.5, 6.5, 7.5, and beyond?
I've bet 5.5 and 6.5 already. But I do that most Super Bowls just because I like that sweat at the beginning of the game.
Uh-huh.
They're not going to try to go over the top, right? Because these NFL drives take 7-8 minutes if you march the ball down the field.
And Seattle, the last in the league in going forward on fourth down or fourth down conversions.
I like over 3.5 total field goals made because both these coaches take points. More than the league average. Way more than the league average.
How popular has the promotion been on par with Canada? Explain.
Oh, come on. We're getting like 45 to 50 new Canadians a day come in here and take advantage of it. Whether it's at the bar, the hotel discount, or the free play thing. So we had to do a number. So it ran from January 21st to the end of August. And Derek wanted everyone to predict how much coin in would we get from Canadians that came down and took advantage of this, that did the promotion. Not just all Canadians, but Canadians that did the promotion, because you can only do it one time. Through the end of January, which encompasses 10 days. Okay, so Derek's prediction was 10 million coin in from these people. My prediction was 900,000. All right. If you extrapolate the first 10 days, it's 8.9 million. It's incredible.
Wow, really?
It's incredible how many people are coming down. Now, not necessarily all. We're getting a lot of hotel bookings, but much more so people using it at the bar and for slots that aren't staying here but are staying somewhere else.
Just go to CircaLasVegas.com.
Yeah, at par. And you can come in and book your reservation. You can say it, but even if you didn't use it and you're Canadian and you get here, you can say, give me the at-par discount. And just all you have to do is show your passport or Canadian driver's list. Now, I believe there's a lot of people living in the area that still have those. I would have required a current utility bill, but they said no. They said no.
That's okay. Great point. I wanted to add, as a follow-up, Paulie and I, when we did mornings, show was on Rogers Sportsnet, right? I mean, let's be honest here. We couldn't walk the streets of Yellowknife or Saskatoon.
Damn right.
The show was so big. Now people have been coming anyway from like Toronto and all over saying, hey, guys, you know, I'm here from. But what part of Canada have you seen the most, like the region? Is it just like the west coast of Canada or is it all over?
I sat with a guy that works in the harness racing industry from Toronto last Thursday night and then hung out with him at Stadium Swim. I mean, it's everywhere. But if I had to pinpoint one province, it would be Alberta.
Yeah.
And Derek says the interviews in Alberta are going crazy, right? They love them. They don't want all this nonsense politics of Eastern Canada, right? They want to secede. So I think Trump should trade Minnesota for Alberta. I think that would be a good move for the U.S.
We're lower Canada anyway, so that's what they call it. I know, not bad. Are you still paying full price for gas, Mike? Don't have to. With the free Upside app, you earn real cash back every time you fill up. Download Upside from the Apple Google Play Store. Start earning today. Promo code NETWORK. Get an extra 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. Drivers are saving $200 to $300 a year. Download the free Upside app now. Promo code NETWORK. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
He needs to learn the definition of legacy. You cannot be serious. Next with Mike Palm.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Marching along here on a Wednesday, downtown Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. The VP is with us, Mike Palm. Time now for You Cannot Be Serious.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
You know, Mitch teased this well. I had to look up the definition of a word when I saw a story this week because I thought maybe I had misunderstood it low these last 52 years. Ty Simpson. quarterback of Alabama, announced that he was going to go into the 2026 NFL draft. Now, this is after he was offered lucrative NIL deals from Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Miami. The Hurricanes, in fact, were said to have offered him a $6.5 million deal to play one more year of college football. Here's his quote. "The last thing that I wanted to do was tarnish my legacy at Alabama." And I thought, am I misunderstanding the word? Let's examine the legacy, right? He sat on the bench for 3 years as a backup and then got to play this year. Terrific. 28 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 240 yards a game, 64% completion percentage. It was not particularly high for college. But, I mean, the team was 11-4 and got beat 38-3 in the Rose Bowl. He left when injured midway through the third quarter. He was 12 of 16 for 67 yards in the playoff game against Indiana. Is that a legacy at Alabama? Is that now the standard for a quarterback to have left a legacy? Tua won a national title. He has a bigger legacy from one half of football against Georgia in a national championship game. How about Joe Namath? Anybody remember his name? Now, that might have been a legacy. Kenny Stabler? How about A.J. McCarron and multiple national titles in 11 and 12? Oh, there was a guy not a few years ago. He's still in the league. Mac Jones. Jeff Rutledge won a national title with Alabama. Jay Barker. How about announcer Greg McElroy? They all won national titles. Stidham Sheely won a national title. Legacy. I'm sorry, son. You're confusing the word legacy with another L word, loyalty. Legacy, you have left not. Ty Simpson.
You cannot be serious.
Let's stick with the Alabama theme here. Did you see this ridiculous scene on Friday night at Morehouse College in Atlanta? Now, this is a big rivalry between Morehouse and Tuskegee University.
Oh,
they
yes.
played the basketball game.
Yeah.
All right. And Morehouse, the home team, wins. Now they go into the handshake line. But the football players from Morehouse get into the handshake line, which they have no business being, and are yelling, according to reports from Tuskegee people, yelling profanities at the Tuskegee players. The head coach, Benji Taylor, for Tuskegee, goes to a security guard. Now, no one's saying a word. Is it an Atlanta police officer, or is this a security guard hired by Morehouse? And says, you've got to get these football players out of the line. This is not safe environment. And they're having a conversation near midcourt when all of a sudden the security guard slaps handcuffs on the Tuskegee coach.
Yeah.
You can go on the internet and find the video of this. It's absolutely stunning. And they lead him off the court. He was trying to protect his players. Now, the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, the SIAC, reviewed the incident and fined Morehouse College for failing to create a safe environment during the game. In a very benevolent move, though, Morehouse took the handcuffs off Taylor so he could take the 2.5-hour bus ride with his team back to Tuskegee, Alabama. Morehouse College!
You cannot be serious!
All right, I've talked at length about what the Winter Classic has become. And you can argue that this was one of the better ones, right? You had a big rally. You had the goalies.
The goalie fight.
The goalie fighting between the big Russian and the American goalie, Swayman. And an epic collapse. But the production of this is so ridiculous. The whole ESPN crew is wearing Eskimo suits in Tampa. They're at Raymond James Stadium. They're wearing Eskimo suits. Did you see the setup? And Cooper, what is this? Tony Montana? I mean, he thinks it's Havana. And it's a Winter Classic. It's become such a... Why do they have to keep using these gimmicks? I couldn't believe his outfit. How ridiculous. And all his coaches. And after the game, he says, well, we like to go and smoke cigars. So we got dressed up, you know, we were going to have...
That's John Cooper?
That's John
Cooper.
Yeah. Oh, his whole staff wore all suits like this during the entire game. Oh, it's a joke.
Oh,
they can't
man.
Carry an audience with an NHL game between Boston and Tampa Bay. Now, the ratings were pretty good on Sunday. They picked a great day. The day of the Pro Bowl when there are no sports, right? The Pro Bowl is nothing. They got 2.1 million viewers. Listen to this. The highest regular season game since the 2019 Winter Classic between the Blackhawks and the Bruins, which drew 3 million. I want to reiterate these stats. From when they initiated these Winter Classics until 2009, they averaged 4.2 million television viewers. From 10 to 19, they averaged 3.3 million. From 2020 to now, the average is 1.1 million. In fact, last year, the Blackhawks game with the Blues on New Year's Eve only drew 920,000. And the earlier game this year in Miami, of all places, with Florida and the Rangers, only had 980,000. So 2.1 million was. They have one chance to save it. Bettman, you should end this whole Winter Classic next year. It's the great venue for you. They're going to Rice-Eccles, having the Mammoth host the Avs. Finish it now. It's a thing that has run its course and become so ridiculous with this production. NHL, ESPN, and John Cooper. You cannot be serious.
All right, very strong. You love betting this sport. Only, what, 2 days left now before the Olympic break?
Yeah.
How have you been betting it? What are your observations and what's on the board tonight that you like?
All right, let's give out some plays here now.
Absolutely.
And some Olympic plays. It's from, especially for the women, which start tomorrow. The women's Olympic hockey starts tomorrow. All right, tonight, I gave this game out on Friday when I was on with Humans. Columbus on the road at Chicago is a small favorite, easy winner. Now they host the Blackhawks tonight, come back with Columbus. Ricky Bonus, 9 out of 10 since taking over, since they fired your guy, Dean Evason. And then I'm going to go with the Big Gus and the Wild. And they go to Nashville tonight. Nashville, extremely lucky. I can't believe how bad the Blues are. They rallied from a big deficit to beat the Blues. But how about Barry Trotz just walked away from that team this week? Yeah. Just suddenly retired. The last person in Nashville, please turn out the lights.
You want to play the over in a Wild game?
Ten straight overs, first period.
All right. Big Gus. Yeah, my friend's been betting goal in the first 10. Wild minus 130 tonight. Let's go to women's hockey. All right. Team USA, I've been talking about this for a while. You can find 135 to win the gold now. Team USA, they played this series with Canada, right, where the U.S. women, the Canadian women play a whole series leading up to the Olympics. Now, they only played four games this year. The summative score was 24-7. So 6-2 was the average scores of these games. And people say to me, yeah, but remember 2002 in Salt Lake when Cassie Campbell-Pascal and that team won their first goal? They lost 8 straight to the American women before beating them 3-2 in the gold medal game. All those games were 1 or 2. Not one of these games was close. The closest game was 4-1. The American women are that much better than everybody. Minus 130. I'm going to tell you another thing. In Group B in the women, Sweden, minus 230. Lock it up. That's an extremely weak group. Sweden, minus 230 in Group B. And then I'll give you one on the men's side. Czechia. You can bet in bronze and silver. I just bet in bronze at 6-1. That team you should be aware of. You've got Lukas Dostal in front of a team that will defend. You don't see that with the Ducks, right? But Dostal, who I think is a superb goalie, Czechia at 6-1 for bronze. There's a prop bet up, and I'm trying to get Jeff Davis to price it. I'm fascinated by this. Which Canadian goalie will spend the most minutes in goal during the sum of the Olympics? You've got three choices. You've got Bennington, Logan Thompson, or Darcy Kuemper. I want to see how they price it. I've seen places offshore price it with Logan Thompson being a slight favorite. I want to know what's in Jeff Davis's mind, but I think we should post this prop.
Okay. Yeah, get creative with it.
Who would you bet if you had to bet who would have the most minutes? I know Cooper's loyal to Bennington.
Yeah.
Thompson's been bad. He was injured, and he's been bad lately.
Well, who do you want to bet?
If I can get 7 or 8 to 1 on Darcy Kuemper, I think I'm taking Darcy Kuemper.
What is your approach going to be after the break is over with?
Well, look for all the injuries. It's the Butchers. It's Billy Guerin's Butchers that totally screwed up the Four Nations. Look at all the American players that got hurt last year. Every year the Wild have major injuries at the end of the year. And yet we choose Guerin to be the GM and his medical staff to go there. Look for these teams who their stars suffer injuries, and it's going to cost them the rest of their seasons. You got teams that have 10 Olympic players between all the different teams.
Yeah, sure.
And 9 Olympic. Look at those teams, maybe fading them if you get a couple injuries on those
squads.
Very
strong. By the way, do they practice next to an electromagnetic field that has something to do with all these injuries, like the 49ers?
I don't know. Now, Jonathan Davis gave me this one. Sidney Crosby, 35-1 for MVP of the Olympics. It's pretty interesting.
Of the Olympics?
McDavid's the favorite. Yeah, they have an MVP. Mm. McDavid's the favorite at 7-1. I think if Canada wins, it'll be because of an offensive player, a forward. And, you know, Crosby will get a lot of lifetime votes. Let's put it that
way. Okay, that makes sense. Are you going to watch like every second of every game?
Every second of every game of every country that I can watch. Absolutely.
Yeah, you've been talking about this now for 6 months,
absolutely.
I think.
It's very exciting, weren't you? We were sat there with Adam Burke and watched the game in Canada, in Montreal, the Four Nations. How good was that?
It's great.
Let's get Nigel for the World Cup right around the corner.
How about Nigel? He didn't give a Super Bowl pick. I liked his email. It was very good.
Yeah. Don't know who's playing.
Great stuff, Mike. I might see you Sunday for the Super Bowl.
You going to come up upstairs with us?
Maybe. All right. Have a great week, okay?
We'll save you a spot.
We don't want this to happen on Sunday during the Super Bowl. Do you concur is next?